Hello, darlings. It's Julie Renee, and welcome to day 7. Manifesting increases 100-fold when you only speak the truth in all areas of life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Congratulations on thinking big and opening to your biggest self. You are 1 week into your abundance breakthrough. Are you in a big growth period? Congratulations! You are transforming your astral space to one that is aligned with abundance. Stick to the program. You are awesome. Having a growth period at this stage in the program means that you are starting the process of breaking through. Just like the baby chick, when ready to emerge from its protective shell to the great big world, you too are ready to break through. We have set 21 days aside to move you into the space similar to that of a very ripe, delicious, juicy mango. If you are in a growth period, some level of breakdown, consider the mango seed when it is breaking through its hard shell. It is not always comfortable, but it is definitely rewarding. If you are in a growth period, I applaud you for your courage and fortitude. Good job. All right, go ahead and get your guidebook or a pencil and paper. We got lots of work to do today. Okay, here are two questions for you. We're going to give you a couple minutes to write down your answer. And question number one, how is your truth-telling barometer these days? And just think about it. Where are you at with truth-telling these days? And number two, are you always impeccable with your word? And listen, nobody else is going to see this but you. So I'm urging you to tell yourself the truth and just write down what comes to mind. Thank you. This is a powerful lesson in increasing the strength and impact of your words. The incorporation of this prosperously pivotal information will assist you in manifesting in a powerful, potent way. Pay close attention. How well you do in getting to the deeper layers of truth predict your progress and expansion into unlimited abundance. Just do your best and don't stress. Over time, as you practice these concepts, you will get better and better at them. Okay, here's another question for you. Do you want to increase your manifestation power by 100%? Say yes. Say it loud. Say it clear. Say yes. I want to increase my manifesting power by 100%. Yes. I want to increase my manifesting power by 100%. Yes. Okay, good. Please answer the following questions honestly. And this is going to take some time, folks. So this is in your guidebook, and I'm going to read the questions through twice, and then I want you to really take some time and think about the answers. When I relay information, do I embellish the truth to suit my needs? So that's number one. I'm going to read it again. When I relay information, do I embellish the truth to suit my needs? And then leave some space. Number two, if you answered yes, in the embellishment, does some part of the communication become untrue? Okay, number two again. If you answered yes, in the embellishment, does some part of the communication become untrue? And then leave some space. Number three, when I am late or put on the spot, do I make excuses that are unrelated to the circumstances? We'll do that one again. When I am late or put on the spot, do I make excuses that are unrelated to the circumstances? Number four, do I have the belief that sometimes telling the truth is cruel? Okay, and number four again, do I have the belief that sometimes telling the truth is cruel? Number five, if you answered yes, consider, is there a shift I can make in my perception of truth-telling so that communication can be beneficial to all parties involved? We'll do that one more time. Number 5, if you answered yes, consider, is there a shift I can make in my perception of truth-telling so that my communication can be beneficial to all parties involved? Number 6, when I speak about the truth, is it truly the only truth? For example, is it a truth based on entirely my perception that I think others should believe? Also, rather than enjoy diversity of viewpoint, so we're really looking at, is this truth self-oriented and you want other people to line up with you? So again, number 6, when I speak about the truth, is it truly the only truth? For example, is it a truth based entirely on my perceptions that I think others should believe also, rather than enjoying the diversity of viewpoints? And finally, number 7, and this is the last question. We're going to give you some time to answer these. Number 7, have I lied to myself while answering any of these questions? And remember, just do your best and don't stress. The goal is to bring a consciousness into your relationship with truth so as to increase your manifesting power. So let's go over that number 7 one more time. Have I lied to myself while answering any of the above questions? Okay, we're going to take 5 minutes to answer these 7 questions. And I really encourage you, be honest with yourself. Nobody is going to see this. Look at, can you even be honest with yourself? What was your answer for number 7 when you got through everything? So go ahead, fill that in, and we'll be back. Thank you. and experiment in your intuitive reception. All right, my dear. Think about a time when someone told you something that you knew or suspected was untrue. And I want you to really get that feeling in your bones. So I want you to feel the feeling of being lied to right now as you're sitting there. Just feel the feeling of being lied to. Okay, notice what you are feeling and where in your body you're feeling it. Now, take out your pen and paper or your guidebook, and I'd like you to make a couple notes to yourself about the feelings and body sensations. Perhaps you felt odd, dull, angry, offended, or disrespected. All of these feelings and any others you are noticing are in lower frequencies of vibration. Got that? Lower frequencies of vibration, all of those. So think about this. Something someone shared with you just lowered your spiritual wattage, possibly dramatically. I'm going to say that again. Something someone shared with you just lowered your spiritual wattage, possibly dramatically. That's really, really important for you to get. Imagine walking around all day, lowering your wattage a bit here and a bit there, by stepping a bit off track with truth-telling every time you had a conversation. Each time you tell an untruth, you lower your wattage. Now, I have a couple questions for you here, and they're really questions I want you to think about. Will the universe want to believe you when you claim your outrageous abundance? Will you be bright enough to match that energy of your abundant picture? Have you exercised a powerful truth-telling muscle or a weak one? Okay, let's go a little deeper into this concept. Let us think about each of us humans as radiant beings of light. And I just love that concept. And the Lord said, "Brother, let there be light." And the Lord said, "Let there be light." And the Lord, he called the light the day, and the darkness he called night. The word just was, and the light was created. When light was created, the dichotomy of darkness began. As a master healer, I repair cells that have lost their light and have fallen into the death pattern. After clearing and repairing the main components of the cell, I reinfuse the light of God back into the renewed cell. My experience through this process of reinfusion of light into the cell moves me to tears. The true state of our cells in perfect wellness is light. Another element of our essence and truth comes from water molecules that comprise more than 90% of our cells. Our body is an amazing vessel of electromagnetic biological communication. We humans are highly complex networks of communication technologies. Our skin, nerves, and brains have multiple avenues for receiving and relaying information. The Japanese researcher Masaru Emoto experimented with water molecules in the DVD Messages from Water. He prepared the water for testing by applying words and music to the environment that surrounded the water molecules. He froze the water molecules and examined them under a microscope. He was able to study and document the effects the words and music had on the water molecules, and found that positive words like love and happiness made beautiful, lacy ice crystals. Contrary to the effect beautiful words and music had on the ice crystals, negative words made ugly spider webs and dismal manifestations. Messages from Water DVD is found in my website, www.julierenee.com. When you contemplate the fact that our human body is over 90% water, you can get a good idea why we respond so strongly to those loving communications or so negative to those negative communications. Our cells literally change in response to what they are being fed. Your natural state is that of light and love. When speaking truth, you move easily into the state of light. This is the condition known as creation or perfection. Neuroscience has discovered that our brains, the energetic receptors in our auric field, are wired to be social or to respond to other brains. Nourishing relationships have beneficial impact on your health. This information comes from the book Social Intelligence by Daniel Coleman. Mr. Coleman states that we can catch an emotion just like a virus. If someone were to emote negativity on you, your brain and then the cells of your body would come down to that negative state. This effect is called mirroring. On the other hand, if someone smiled at you, your brain and body would lighten and respond to higher emotions. I mention this to bring home that point, which is we are deeply responsive beings and all have the ability to go to the lightest vibration with the smile from another. If someone shared their negativity with you, you could refresh your response by focusing on a positive feeling or something beautiful in nature to reset yourself. In David Hawkins' book, Power Versus Force, Dr. Hawkins compares the energy signatures of various organizations. He uses kinesiology, which is basic muscle testing, to test the vibration of a variety of objects and organizations for their relationship with pure truth. One of his findings was that Hinduism had one of the highest vibrations of any of the larger religious practices on the planet. And I have a few theories as to why this is so. Number one, the religion in some form has been practiced for thousands of years. The original sect worshipped Devi and was a fertility cult. Many separate and beautiful sects have risen from that very first practice thousands of years ago. In present day, there are three major divisions of Hinduism. Vaishnavites worship the aspect of God, goddess that is love. Shaivites worship that aspect of God, goddess that holds the power of creation and destruction. And then the Kali worshippers, known as protector goddess, destroyer of ego. The actual organization that groups all Hindus together is quite loose. The name Hindu was actually created by the English in the last couple of hundred years. They wanted a convenient way to title all those who had similar worship practices west of the Indus River. There are literally hundreds of sects and thousands of individual practices that bring the devotee to know God, Goddess, and find the path to enlightenment. And then there's a second aspect of Hinduism that brings that scale way up, and that is the prayers are all spoken in Sanskrit, which is the language of truth, meaning that the sounds, the words, are actually the vibration of the thing or concept spoken. Super cool. As the devotee chants their mantra, they are chanting the sound of pure truth. As one prays for enlightenment, for the removal of obstacles, for health, healing, and they are powerfully invoking the essence of truth. The sweetness about this tradition called Hinduism is that there is no right way for everyone. Each individual and each family makes a choice of how to worship and what their perfect way to know and understand God is. From that choice, the devotee has systems of prayers, meditations, mudras, kriyas, yogic practices to help them in their aspirations towards enlightenment. While in India, I had the privilege of studying with Brahmin priests in the Vishwashanti ashram. The scriptural texts are the Vedas and the yogic sutras, along with other divine texts. The Vedas are four scriptural texts written by Vedic scholars. These four books are considered the highest truth. Each of these treatises are complete in and of themselves and represent a unique branch of study of the truth. Three of the Vedas are visible and available for study. The fourth Veda is a sacred book of incantations that remain hidden to the world. This book contains the words and sounds that control the physical world. This Veda is left in the hands of only the most holy individuals. It is said that this fourth Veda contains the words of earthly siddhas. There are 16 siddhas, and each one represents a mastery over some element of the physical world through spiritual gifts. As a truth speaker, sadhu reads the words, the power and force of the atoms and molecules actually line up and hold the world in balance. They can actually be transformed and manipulated to create a change. Those changes can include earthquakes, tidal waves, hurricanes, and tsunamis. It is maybe a wonderful thing to start rain in a drought, but there is a natural order reflecting the universal law. It is best that this fourth Veda stays hidden. If you are interested in a Hindu text of pure truth that is accessible and of truly the highest vibration, I suggest you read the Yogic Sutras of Patanjali. These beatific thoughts are truly poetic and have stimulated many euphoric and blissful moments for me. You can also check our website for a program that we've developed where I am teaching you how to use these mantras in your daily life. It's pretty spectacular. The weakness of the English language. I think back again to the concept of language as truth. Sanskrit is a perfect example that is 98% true. Now, the English language in its basic spoken form is surprisingly in the range of 10 or 11% truth. The fact is that English language is more of a descriptive device than a language of truth. When speaking English as a native language, your words don't line up with a true vibration of the concept or thing you are talking about. This is a very important reason to carefully choose your words when relaying information of any kind. The fallout from the inaccuracy of the English language may encourage an overall cultural theme of speaking untruths within our social structure. All right, take out your guidebook. It's now time to get your guidebook out, and we're going to open to this page. I resolve to speak with clear, focused attention, and go ahead and sign it and date it. You can, with clear intention, use the English language to speak truthfully. This process takes clear intention and attention to detail. Remember what I said earlier. Do your best. Please don't stress. Drop your perfect pictures. You are in the process of raising awareness and consciousness. This is not a process meant to be done overnight, but rather as a profound, lifelong learning. Your best effort at any given time is enough. Our ultimate goal out of this chapter is to increase the power of your word in the universe. When you increase your truth ratio, you increase your power. This increase results in your ability to use your word as a powerful instrument for creating your wondrous reality. All right, it's time to review homework, and then we'll end with a blessing. So, standard homework, increase your energy. Let's write a fresh gratitude list for the day, 5 things you're grateful for. Then pull out that meditation and practice it. And day 7 is a day when I am okay with you deviating slightly. If you want to jump past my mock-ups, which is fine, they're just teaching mock-ups. They're not meant for you to do over and over again. You can just jump to the next track when you're ready, when you've done all your mock-ups. Just jump onto the next track and then go ahead and do the completion. So you'll do your own mock-ups. I'm not saying skip the mock-ups, but go ahead and you don't have to continue to do that mock-up session of mine. You can do your own. Okay? And so this is day 1 of that. And you're welcome to just use the CD all the way through if you'd like to. But this is a time where you now have permission to slightly change the picture. 3, when you're done with your meditation, come back to the guidebook. Notes to self, charting progress. What I saw during my abundance meditation practice, what I felt, what I realized, what I generated. Notes on changes or results from your mock-up meditation. Please, 3, find 3 things. Notice any changes in yourself. Have you become more calm, resolved, deserving, or capable in these past few days? And use your own words. You know, there are ways that you know you've become a light, you've become a magnet, you've become happier, you're more fun to be with. Use those words. All right. May it be with the blessings of the Supreme Being that whatever happens during this grand 21-day abundance program be a benefit and joy for you, your lifestyle, and for the ones you love. May the entire world be filled with health, vitality, abundance, and peace. Amen. blessings and light for your day of transformation. Yahoo!